And here it is, another Saturday in CCO land, where we chat with Jack Farrell, our wine chat. Jack Farrell from Haskell's. Morning, Jack.
Good morning, Denny. How are you this fine day?
I am doing quite well, thank you very much. And I'm thinking, wow, this is March already, and it's going to be St. Patrick's Day before long, huh?
Before long. That's 2 weeks from today.
Oh, that's right. Some folks
Saturday.
Might be.
Yes. It's on Saturday. The Irish can really go out there.
Oh, boy.
My favorite is an Irish seven-course meal, which is a six-pack and a potato.
Bada bing.
I can say that because I'm 100% Irish.
Yes, you can say that. I'm only half, so I could say half of that. But
I did one of those DNA things.
Oh, yeah.
As a gift, and it turned out Ireland and the British Isle, I'm like 98% there, 2% someplace else, and 1%. Another place, but that's pretty...
It's kind of fun, isn't it?
Yeah, it was fun to see that. And anyhow, I got a call from a friend of mine who, watching the news, saw them throwing snowballs in St. Peter's Square in Italy. And he said, will that bother the vine? I said, no, not really, because that snow will be gone in a day or two. It just doesn't last. And then they quizzed me about some Italian wines. So I thought I would compress a sort of Italian wines in a very short little window here. You know, Italy, of all the major wine-growing areas in the world, has the longest, noblest history. They found vineyards and winery technique with amphora and things like that in the Tuscan villages over 7,000 years ago. So Italy's been making wine for a long, long time. And, you know, Italy is a long peninsula with lots of weather variation, you know, from the Alps in the north down to the southern end of Italy where you can see the African coast. And that's a long country, and there's vineyards everywhere in Italy. Virtually every region in the entire Italy has vineyards in it. And because it's a peninsula, there's lots of coastal conditions which are conducive to growing vines, you know, rolling hillsides, temperate weather, etc. And not to mention the wines of Sardinia and Sicily. You know, so Italy is virtually a vast, vast vineyard, and you just pick and choose. There's so many different wines to choose from in that country. You could have a different Italian wine every day for the rest of your life, probably, and not duplicate. There's just that many vineyards, and there, I think in Appellatio and Controlli, where that's controlled place of origin for a name of a wine, there's 79 of those all over Italy. And you know, the best way to learn about Italian wines is simply to taste them. You know, they go from a moderately priced Chianti, which would be wonderful to have with pizza, to you could have a big Barolo with a standing baron of beef at a black tie dinner. And they would all be aptly suited for the occasion and for the type. I mean, I'm sure everybody gets overwhelmed when they're looking at Italian wines because there's so many things to look for. There's some Italian wines that are particularly notable, and the grape types are, for example, the region Barolo. Barolo is called the king of wines and comes from the Piedmontese area, which is in the foothills of the Alps. That's also where we get those wonderful white truffles come from that area. In fact, I think I called in last September when I was in Alba, and we were having white truffles and drinking lots of Barolo, Barbaresco, and wines of that quality. Those wines there are absolutely terrific. And, you know, one of the things about Italy is they are the largest per capita consumers of wine in the world. They consume almost 100 liters per capita. That'd be about 125 bottles per person for every man, woman, and child in that country every year. Yet, Italy has, in the Western world, has the lowest incidence of alcoholism, and I am convinced it's because people start drinking wine at a very early age, and they drink it with their meals, and it's moderation, moderation, moderation. You know, the French are good at drinking wine with their meals, but then they finish it off with cognac and things like that. And the Italians don't do very much of that at all. But the wines and the types are just amazing all over. Red wine, white wine, rosé wine, sparkling wine, sparkling wine. Now, their Prosecco has, you know, become extraordinarily popular. For a wine that you never heard of 25 years ago, today everybody has Proseccos and lots of them. And the Prosecco, you know, is made by method Charmant. Now, that's a little different than the Champenoise method. When you make sparkling wine Champenoise, it's made in the Champagne style, and it takes about 2.5 years to get those bubbles in the wine in Champagne. And making Charmant, like they make Prosecco, you can put the bubbles in 2 or 3 weeks, the wine can be ready in no time at all. They can ferment the wine in these huge vats, and so they have a little sparkle. And incidentally, Prosecco is absolutely wonderful for when you're making mimosas or you're making Kir Royale. Put a little bit of chambray, raspberry liqueur in a wine glass, and then top it up with some Prosecco. Makes a fabulous aperitif. And you can do that same thing with any kind of red currant liqueur. Or, you know, what's very good is just a little ounce of cranberry juice and then fill it up with Prosecco. That lowers the alcohol content, obviously, because cranberry juice doesn't have any alcohol in it. And it adds the flavor, and it's very attractive color when you, that nice pink color that you get from cranberry juice coupled with the Prosecco is really terrific. The range of wines, as I said, in Italy is just almost overwhelming. A few things you want to think about, in my opinion, is major white wines. Pinot Grigio is a little like Prosecco. Today, Pinot Grigios are enormously popular all over, and they run the gamut from delicious and well-constructed to very innocuous blasé wines. And Pinot Grigio is made all over Italy. They make Pinot Grigio in Sicily and Sardinia. And it's a white wine that's very good. I have a daughter-in-law who's crazy about Vermentino. That's, and also she likes Verdicchio. Those are two lesser-known white wines of Italy, and Trebbiano is the other one. But if you know all those, Pinot Grigio, Trebbiano, and you can say Soave, because Soave is made from the Garangaia grape, which is kind of hard to pronounce and remember. But Soaves, to me, always tasted sort of soapy. But the red wines, particularly Tuscany, is just incredible. And Tuscany is an area kind of bottom Sardinia, top Florence, and that big vast area in between there is Tuscany. And Tuscany is just absolutely wonderful. There's wine I particularly like from there, Montepulciano. The town of Montepulciano is absolutely beautiful. It's a castle on the top. It's a hill town at its best. And the wine of Montepulciano is really delicious. Another wine that I like that people don't know too much about is Dolcetto. Dolcetto is kind of the poor man's, or the Italian version of Beaujolais. It comes from the Piedmontese area and is very, very good. When we're talking about sparkling wines, of course, Lambrusco was very, very popular, as was Asti Spumante, and they've waned a little bit. But even with Asti Spumante, a well-made Asti Spumante with dessert is very, very hard to beat because it's made entirely from the Moscato grape, and that's the only grape. And if you were to bite into it in the vineyard, you could say, "Hey, this tastes just like Asti Spumante," because the Moscato is that distinct when they put Moscato into from the grape to the wine. It tastes exactly the same, and it is delicious, and it has a place. As I said, a lot of people turn their nose down, and it's too sweet. Another unusual wine of Italy is something called Vino Santo, and this is wine that's made from grapes that are dried in the attic of barns in Valpolicella and places like that. And when they get down to almost like raisins, they make this sweet little wine out of it. And most of the vineyards make and keep that Vino Santo for the special guests and things like that. But you can buy it around. A few wine shops around the country will have Vino Santo. But it is an incredibly interesting wine. It just makes all of those wonderful wines, whether you're talking about Sangiovese or you're talking about a big Nebbiolo or a big Barbera, the wines of Italy are not to be missed. They're so diversified, I think. You know, an interesting experiment would be take a whole month or 2 weeks and just try different Italian wines every day.
I think that's a great idea.
That's the best way to learn about it.
I tell you what, you can, if you walk into any one of the Haskell's locations and say, show me the Italian wines, you got a bunch to look at.
We have a bunch to look at. And not only do we have a bunch to look at, we have some real bargains. There's one we have, it's called Amacone, and I call it the poor man's Amarone. Amarone's a very expensive wine, about $40, $50 a bottle. This Amacone that I have from a friend of mine in Italy is only $14.99, and you can buy it at any one of the Haskell's stores. There's a Haskell's near you where you can save big dollars on wine. Haskell's in Bloomington. There's a Haskell's out in Chanhassen. You'll find a Haskell's in downtown Excelsior, Faribault off at 35. Our super cellar in Maple Grove is not to be missed. In downtown Minneapolis on Saturday and Sunday, we have free parking. There's a Haskell's at Ridgedale, a Haskell's in Plymouth. St. Paul's Highland Village has one. Stillwater, White Bear Lake, and Woodbury, too. And if you can't come into Haskell's, go to Haskell's.com or go to WCCO.com/wine, and it'll take you right to the Haskell's website where you can find things like that Amacone or a poor man's Amarone. Ciao.
Ciao. I like that. Say, Jack, I want to mention something before we head out of here. And I forgot to mention last week that we have, shame on me, we have a couple of seats left for the Sonoma Wine Country Getaway. And I want folks to fill those seats because we're going to have a good crowd coming with us. So can I give that phone number? Because Ted and Bo?
Absolutely. Bo is telling me all the places you're going to visit. What a trip that
is. Oh, this is phenomenal. Jack, you and I can talk more next week.
I'm going to look forward to that, Denny.
Thanks, Jack. Jack Farrell from Haskell's.